Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through today's biggest stories, pulling out the crucial bits, and maybe some surprising details you missed.
Sure.
Today is all about AI, specifically August 22nd, 2025. It was a packed day. You've brought a stack of sources, and we're going to break it all down, make sense of the noise, and give you the clearest possible picture.
Absolutely. And what a day it was, really. We've got everything from huge corporate moves, geopolitical tensions spilling into tech,
right,
all the way to how AI is affecting jobs on the ground and even its environmental cost.
We'll try and connect those dots for you, help you see not just what happened, but why it matters and how it might actually impact you down the line.
Exactly.
Okay, let's kick things off with, well, it's got all the drama, hasn't it? Elon Musk.
Uh-huh.
An unsolicited, massive $97.4 billion offer to buy OpenAI.
Just drop.
Out of the blue.
And the twist.
Yeah.
He apparently asked Mark Zuckerberg, Meta's CEO, for help financing it.
Which is just incredible given their rivalry.
Predictably, maybe.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg and Meta said no. No letter of intent signed. They declined to join.
Makes sense.
But here's the kicker, strategically speaking. OpenAI is apparently using this secret request, asking a major rival for cash, to try and weaken Musk's legal arguments. You know, his claims that their Microsoft deal betrayed OpenAI's original nonprofit mission.
Okay. So they're saying, look, he was trying to buy us out with a competitor's help. How charitable is that?
Basically. It's quite the chess move. Does it actually weaken his case, though? Or is it more like public relations warfare?
Well, it certainly highlights how these past private actions asking a competitor for funding secretly can suddenly become ammunition in very public legal fights.
Right.
It shows that the stakes are getting incredibly personal at the top. It's not just about business anymore. Every conversation, every potential deal could be used later on. Sets a bit of a precedent, doesn't it?
Definitely feels like the gloves are off.
Mm.
Okay, so from that corporate maneuvering, let's shift to the hardware. The chips that power all this AI. Mm. NVIDIA, exactly. They're facing new hurdles in China. They've actually halted production of their H20 AI chips meant for the Chinese market.
And that follows a government order, right? Telling local companies not to buy them.
Precisely. China's Cyberspace Administration is reviewing the H20 chips. They're worried about, quote, backdoors or tracking tech.
Security concerns. National security, really.
Yeah. And it throws the chips' future in China into doubt. Even though NVIDIA's CEO, Jensen Huang, he worked to get U.S. export licenses, he assured them there were no backdoors.
It doesn't seem to matter at this point.
It seems not.
Mm-hmm.
And adding to that, reports suggest Chinese companies are already looking elsewhere, finding domestic chip options, especially after some, pointed comments from the U.S. Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick.
Hmm. If you zoom out a bit, what this really shows is, it's national security treating chip design almost like territory now. It's sovereign.
You mean it's not enough to have the tech?
No, you need to control it. Every layer. Know exactly where it came from. Trust its security completely. This isn't just tech decoupling anymore. It's deeper. It's pushing towards potentially really fragmented, incompatible global tech systems. Countries choosing self-reliance, maybe paranoia over efficiency, especially for something as critical as AI infrastructure.
And that pressure, that vacuum created by Western companies facing restrictions, Chinese firms are stepping right in.
Like DeepSeek.
Exactly. DeepSeek, a Chinese AI company, they've rolled out their V3.1 model.
Yeah.
And crucially, it's optimized specifically for Chinese-made chips.
Ah, so tighter integration, better performance potentially on their own hardware?
That seems to be the goal. They say it outperforms older versions, and maybe most importantly, it's priced lower than OpenAI's models.
So this isn't just another model launch, DeepSeek doing this quietly, this stealth launch. It signals a really deliberate strategy, doesn't it? Aligning their software directly with their domestic hardware.
Building their own ecosystem.
Completely. It positions DeepSeek V3.1 as a serious challenger within China to global players like, say, GPT-5. It's about technological autonomy, not just competition.
Okay, so while China builds its internal capabilities, let's look inside another Western giant, Meta. They're undergoing a massive AI restructuring.
Huge changes over there.
The AGI Foundation's division. Dissolved. Gone.
Wow. That was a big focus for them.
It was. Now operations are being shuffled into four new units, all under Alexander Wang.
Wang's consolidating power, then.
Seems like it. There's also a hiring freeze across the entire AI division. Any exceptions need Wang's personal sign-off.
That's tight control.
And even Yan LeCun, their chief scientist, a huge name in AI.
A pioneer.
He now reports directly to Wang. Plus, they're creating this new TBD lab.
TBD, to be determined.
Apparently, its focus is exploring omni-models, AI that handles text, images, video, everything seamlessly, and other frontier research.
Omni-models are kind of the holy grail right now.
Right, but this whole restructure,
yeah.
Such a massive centralization of power under Wang. In a field like AI that's so creative, moves so fast, does centralizing like this risk, you know, stifling innovation, or is it maybe necessary for focus?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Oh, it's
definitely a bold strategic move. Centralizing could streamline things, give them clear direction for those big, ambitious goals like omni-models. But, yeah, you have to wonder about the impact on morale. The AI and FAIR teams, researchers who maybe valued their autonomy, suddenly finding themselves in this new structure, could it create friction? Slow things down instead of speeding them up? It's a big gamble.
A gamble indeed. Meanwhile, Google's making a very different kind of move outwards into the government sector.
Aggressively, it's
very. The GSA, the General Services Administration, announced federal agencies can get Google's Gemini for government AI services for just 47 cents each.
47 cents per user.
Per user through 2026. Compare that to OpenAI's ChatGPT or Anthropic's Claude, which are apparently priced at $1 for government use.
That's, yeah, incredibly aggressive pricing.
And it builds on past discounts they offered for workspace tools. It includes access to things like Notebook LM and their video model, VO.
So they're bundling it all up cheap.
It looks like it. I mean, 47 cents? Is that just a smart way to grab market share fast? Or does offering it so low raise flags about maybe vendor lock-in down the road? Get agencies dependent now, raise prices later.
You've hit on it. It's a classic long-term play. Get federal agencies using your ecosystem early, make it cheap, make it easy.
Get them hooked.
Exactly. And you could secure a dominant position in government AI contracts for years, maybe decades. The low price now is an investment. But yes, the risk of vendor lock-in, lack of future choice, potential price hikes, that's a real concern for any big organization adopting a platform so deeply. Smart, but definitely something to watch.
Okay, and speaking of expanding AI's reach, China's not just focused on Earth. They're pushing AI into space.
Right, the Tiangong space station.
It now has Wukong AI, named after the Monkey King myth.
A chatbot for taikonauts.
Yeah, built with Chinese open source tech. It helps with navigation, planning, and get this, psychological support.
That's fascinating. AI as a companion or counselor in that extreme environment.
It operates both onboard and using modules back on Earth during missions.
You know, this is really significant. It's a practical, incredibly high-stakes use of AI, way beyond just consumer gadgets or even standard defense stuff.
Shows real strategic investment.
Definitely. Integrating AI right into the core of their space program. And that psychological support angle, it suggests a really holistic view of how humans and AI can work together, especially under pressure. Shows long-term vision.
Now, let's pivot to a story that's, well, it's a tough one. A real cautionary tale about the human side of AI implementation.
The Commonwealth Bank in Australia.
That's the one. They fired 45 workers. Their justification. A new AI chatbot supposedly cut call volumes by 2,000 a week.
But the employees said that wasn't true.
They called it an outright lie. They said call volumes were actually increasing. So much so the bank had to offer overtime, even get managers on the phones.
Wow, so the AI wasn't actually replacing the work?
Not according to the staff. It went to a Fair Work tribunal. The bank eventually admitted the jobs weren't redundant, apologized, and offered to rehire the workers or give them exit payments.
That's quite a turnaround.
It's just such a stark reminder, isn't it? The human cost when these rollouts aren't handled right.
Absolutely. The takeaway for you listening is just how crucial transparency and ethical deployment are. You can't just claim AI efficiency and fire people based on, well, apparently false data.
Yeah.
It shows the danger of replacing people prematurely without verifying the claims. It underscores that this tech, no matter how smart we think it is, needs human oversight, needs accountability. We have to question these efficiency claims, especially when jobs are on the line.
A really important point. Okay, another critical aspect, often hidden, the environmental cost of AI.
The energy and water usage?
Exactly. Google released some details on Gemini's footprint. They claim a text query uses energy equal to watching TV for 9 seconds.
Okay, sounds small.
And consumes water equivalent to 5 drops. Specifically, 0.24 watt hours of energy, 0.26 milliliters of water per query. They also said Gemini got 33 times more energy efficient over the past year, cut carbon output by 44 times.
So progress on efficiency, which is good, but, well, researchers looked at the study and pointed out a pretty big omission. It didn't include indirect water use.
Indirect? What does that mean?
The water used by the power plants that generate the electricity for the data centers. Apparently, that's where the vast majority of the water consumption actually happens.
Ah, so Google's numbers only count the water used directly at the data center, not to make the power it runs on.
Seems so. Which leads researchers to ask if the picture Google painted is, quote, artificially rosy.
Right. It sounds better than it is if you leave out the biggest part.
Exactly. It just highlights the desperate need for industry-wide third-party standards for measuring this stuff. We need a full, honest picture, not just self-reported metrics that might miss key factors.
Absolutely. We need apples-to-apples comparisons.
Yeah.
Okay, let's circle back to Elon Musk. Busy day for him on X, talking AI.
You're never a dull moment.
He announced XAI's Grok 5 model starts training in September, and he believes it has a shot at being true AGI.
AGI again. Artificial General Intelligence. The big one.
He also claimed his Grok, Imagine, the image video model, will beat Google's VEO3 in every respect.
Oh,
bold claim.
Very bold.
And then, maybe the most out there comment, he weighed in on falling birth rates, suggested AI will actually increase birth rates because it will be programmed that way.
Right. That caused a stir.
Musk is always aiming high with AGI talk.
Right.
But AGI, the definition is still so fuzzy, right? Like, what is human-level intelligence across all tasks? Isn't saying Grok 5 has a shot still? Mostly speculation. Maybe drumming up excitement.
You're right to be skeptical. AGI is the goal, the benchmark. But yeah, what it means is debated constantly. So claiming a shot at it,
yeah,
it's hard to verify. It makes the race to declare AGI really interesting. Maybe even contentious, because everyone might have a different finish line in mind. So yeah, declaring it early is often about capturing attention, setting expectations, maybe influencing investment. And his comments on birth rates, well, that just throws us into those huge philosophical, ethical debates AI forces on us. How much should AI shape core parts of human life? Who gets to decide? Big questions.
Very big questions. Okay, before we wrap up, let's do a quick fire round. Other significant AI stuff that happened on August 22nd. It shows just how much is going on.
Okay, rapid fire.
Google, rolling out its AI mode for conversational search worldwide. Plus, new agentic skills letting the AI handle tasks like booking restaurants for you.
Agentic AI letting it take actions. That's a key trend.
Cohere launched Commando Reasoning, new enterprise model focused on reasoning. Mm. They say it beats rivals like GPTest and DeepSeek R1 on agentic benchmarks, tests of how well AI can plan and act.
Enterprise focus, reasoning skills, important for business use.
But anyway. Introduced Game Worlds in beta, a tool to build and play text-based games generated live on their platform.
Creative AI tools expanding.
And ByteDance released SeedOSS, a new family of open-source reasoning models. Key feature, long context, over 500,000 tokens.
Huge context window means it can process and remember vast amounts of information, like a whole book, for complex tasks. Very powerful.
So just an incredible amount happening on one single day.
Mm-hmm.
Boardroom battles, global tech politics, new models, ethical minefields, space chatbots.
The pace is just relentless.
It really is. We've seen the innovation, the competition, but also the real-world consequences and the tough questions we need to ask.
And that leaves a critical question for you listening. As AI keeps accelerating like this, how do you tell the real breakthroughs from the hype? How do you spot the hidden costs or downsides?
Mm.
And maybe what's our collective responsibility here? As users, maybe developers, just as citizens, how do we push for that transparency, for ethical choices and how this powerful tech gets used?
It's a lot to think about. It demands we stay vigilant, stay critical.
Definitely. It's a landscape that's changing under our feet.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. We hope we've helped make sense of a complex day. Keep asking those questions. Keep thinking critically as you navigate this AI world.